Welcome to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. And now, with our hosts, Eric Colson, Don Cleaver, and Ava LaRue.
Welcome to the Valley Outdoors, everybody. Glad to have you guys with us. Lots to talk about today. We've got some miscalculations in the state habitats fund. It'll be a reduction there. A gentleman found alive at sea after 95 days, and some details on a chairlift that would have been one heck of an e-ticket ride for one unfortunate individual out west. That and a ton more, you're gonna want to hang out. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Avid outdoorsmen know that heading to the field without all the advantages, not a good idea. Most importantly, a stable shooting platform. Having the right platform can be critical to success. Field Optics Research is the industry leader, offering the most advanced, lightest, and stable tripods on the market. It's stability you need when that once-in-a-lifetime shot is in your crosshairs. Field Optics, the ultimate tripod for hunting, shooting, long-range precision shooting, spotting scopes, and outdoor photography.
Links to Field Research Optics available on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Good to see you, Ava.
It's good to see you. Where's Don?
Where's Waldo?
Where's Donald?
Where's Don? He's probably gallivanting and doing something. I don't know. I just don't know.
I don't know.
Don't
know. He'll be back eventually.
How about no?
Pretty much.
I love that line. You ever use that line before?
Yeah. How about no?
How about no? Yeah. Sorry. I like that. We got a lot of cool stories today.
Yeah, you said you were excited.
Yeah, I actually am. One story, it's kind of a sad story, but what do you do? It's one of these caught on a chairlift scenario in a windstorm. Not good. Comes to mind. Imagine what happens then.
Thankfully, I have never come close to that.
Yeah, not good. This happens to be at Red Lodge, Montana. Now, there have been, you may have heard, there's been a lot of chairlift accidents recently. There was a gondola that the arm on the gondola broke. Thank goodness they were only like 15 feet from the ground or 10 feet from the ground. And it fell off, right?
Wow.
Yeah. This particular case, as you know, the cable goes up to the top and then it has a big wheel, they call it a bull wheel. And then it circles back down with the chairlifts that are attached, clamped to the chair.
Okay.
And it comes back down. There's a bull wheel at the bottom. Well, as you go through different towers to keep the cable above ground, there are multiple wheels. They're called bogey wheels. Like on a tank, they're little, you know, their wheels are about probably 18 inches around.
Okay.
And the cable rides on that. And it just by the weight of the cable and the chairs, it keeps it on that particular, those wheels. Well, in this particular case, there was a strong wind. Unfortunately, it pushed it off the cable, off of those rollers.
Okay.
Now, okay, that's not a good thing because then the gap between the next tower and the tower before, so the tower above and below, there's no tension now. This chair is now free-falling. With or whatever chairs are free falling. Well, this particular individual, I don't know if it was the only one there, it went down. And the unfortunate part is when there's slack created, there's a weight on the bottom. So it kind of keeps tension on it that's attached to that
sure,
bull wheel.
Yeah.
So it's on a slide track. Well, when it does that, the slack is on it. You'll immediately drop down. The bull wheel takes up that slack
and it's like literally a bow and arrow. So it will tighten that cable back up.
Okay.
And it launched him out of the chair. They just did the investigation on it. Very unfortunate. But yeah, it was not a good thing. It was a triple chair. Only one gentleman was on it. 37-year-old Jeff Zinni. Really, and apparently it was due to erratic winds. Surprisingly, it did not detach from the chair. I don't know if the safety bar was also being used by him. And yeah, it called the yo-yo effect. So it went down and then it got launched back up and he got launched out of the chair. So unfortunately, but that's what happened on that particular chairlift. So
I'm assuming he did not survive.
No, he did not. So very, very unfortunate scenario that you don't like to see by any means. So jumping into a story out in Pacific Ocean, a Peruvian fisherman was found alive after 95 days at sea.
No thanks.
And they talked about how he survived. He spent the last 15 days without eating anything. He was found alive after 95 days adrift. He was dehydrated in critical condition, discovered by Ecuadorian fishing patrol, 680 miles off the coast of Peru, according to the report. He departed Marcona, a town on the Peru's southern coast, December 7th. I didn't want to die. I ate roaches, birds. The last thing I ate was turtles. I thought about my mother every day. Thank God for giving me a second chance. He had packed enough food to spend 2 weeks at sea, but 10 days in, he was thrown off course by stormy weather and ended up adrift in the Pacific. He said the news agency, according to what he drank rainwater, collected on his boat, and he eventually ran out of food sources and spent the last 15 days without eating anything. Daughters never lost faith. They kept telling me, Mom, he'll come back. He'll come back. And yeah, he actually
survived.
He
must have had no communication whatsoever.
None of that. None of that. Isn't that sad?
That is really sad. Have you read the Life of Pi?
No. I have seen the movie, but I didn't read the book. But
oh, the book is
much better, obviously.
Oh, yes.
Books are way better.
Yeah. That's all I can think of.
Having a situation like that, you know that being out in that type of environment, that's bad. The ocean currents can take you far, far away from where you are and can take you into a non-shipping lane and you be adrift.
There's a reason why you're not supposed to be out there?
Well, without being prepared with flares, et cetera, and that would be something that would be very helpful, obviously, to have on that particular boat at that particular time. Hindsight's always 20/20, though.
You got to do what you got to do. But good for him on being resourceful.
Yeah, no question.
Almost 100 days floating out there. No thanks.
No. I can't even imagine.
Thank you.
Not a good thing at all. Well, tell you what, we're going to be right back. We're going to talk a little bit about the new Minnesota DNR setting regs on Mille Lacs, the regulations, and crossing the Canadian border may be a little different this year.
Ooh.
Stay tuned for more when you return.